This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, May 19th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. Unions are warning labor ministers from the G20 group of countries that working people are increasingly concerned about economic globalization. The ministers are meeting in Germany this week. Radio Labor senior correspondent Seemory Ainsborough reports.
More than 70% of working people are worried that they will lose their job as globalization increases. That is one of the worrisome findings of a new poll commissioned by the International Trade Union Confederation. The poll covers 16 countries representing more than 50% of the world population. It shows that not only are 73% of workers concerned about their job security, but 80% report that they have falling or stagnated wages. About 40% have either been unemployed in the past year or have seen their working hours reduced. 50% don't have enough money for basic essentials, or they are just barely getting by. Meanwhile, there's a broad consensus about what should be done. 71% of the people surveyed said governments should be working towards a pay increase for workers. 77% said governments should do more to make sure companies pay their fair share of taxes. And more than 70% want their governments to adopt new rules for multinational corporations to end the abuse of workers in their supply chains. ITUC General Secretary Sharon Burrow told the media that the rules of the global economy have been distorted to put the interests of the richest 1% and corporations ahead of working people. This power imbalance, she said, is driving mistrust in governments. The poll results will be presented to the G20 labor ministers at their conference in Germany, May 18th to 19th. This is Seemory Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
May 17th is the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. It's a day set aside to raise awareness of LGBT rights worldwide. Last year, commemorations of the day took place in more than 120 countries. One of the global unions, which has been at the forefront in the struggles to win respect for LGBT rights, is Education International. EI is the global union for teachers and other education workers. Here's Naomi Goldberg, a Chicago researcher on LGBT issues, speaking at an EI conference.
So what are the sort of long-term outcomes of employment discrimination for LGBT adults? On the face of it, we see lower wages. Transgender people with incomes less than $10,000, which in the U.S., it's virtually impossible to live on that. 15% of transgender people reported income at that level compared to 4% of the general population. So nearly a four times higher rate. Of LGBT adults, 35% have incomes less than $24,000 compared to 24% of non-LGBT adults. So certainly employment discrimination, as well as many of the other things I mentioned earlier, have an economic impact on LGBT people in terms of wages themselves. Finally, we see much higher rates of poverty for LGBT people. 7.6% of women in same-sex couples are living in poverty compared to 4.3% of different sex married couples. When you look at kids living in families, kids raised by male same-sex couples, nearly one quarter are living in poverty. And some of that has to do with the race of same-sex couples who are raising kids. They're much more likely to be African-American and Latino. And we in the U.S. have a huge economic and income disparity across race lines. Women in same-sex couples have much higher rates of poverty than other couples. And again, this speaks to intersectional issues. Some of this is that women in general just make less. So when you have two women, they make less than a man and a woman. They make less than two men. But some of this is also, discrimination against women in the labor market, and discrimination against lesbians in general.
As workers worldwide become even more suspicious about global trade deals which decrease democratic control and enhance corporate power, the labor movement is warning about yet another deal being negotiated in secret. The Trades and Services Agreement, known by its acronym TISA, is being negotiated by 22 countries plus the European Union. It includes the world's biggest economy, the United States. If implemented, TISA would cover 70% of the world's trade and services. At the forefront of the international labor movement's campaign against TISA is the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF represents more than 4.5 million transport workers who are members of 700 unions in 150 countries. I talked to Sam Dawson about TISA. Mr. Dawson is the ITF's press and editorial manager. I asked him first to describe TISA.
TISA is the Trade and Services Agreement. It is a global trade deal. It's been negotiated almost entirely behind closed doors. What we know about it, we know mainly by leaks, through leaks, by 22 countries, all in all, 23 entities, 22 countries, and then the last one is the European Union, which represents yet another 28 member states. So it's big, it's getting on for global.
Why is the ITF concerned about TISA? What would be some of the consequences of its application?
There are plenty of reasons to be concerned about TISA. One, because it's secretive. Two, because it's undemocratic. Three, because it actually hands over power to multinational corporations to make decisions about jobs and trade law right across the TISA block. And that potentially could threaten hard-won jobs and conditions.
What are some of the aims of the ITF's campaign against TISA, the Trade and Services Agreement?
Well, if TISA is stoppable, it's stoppable by trade unions. We've seen that already in Paraguay and Uruguay. They were in the so-called TISA, those 23 states and entities. Unions there went to their governments, they explained why TISA was bad for workers, was bad for democracy in those companies, and they actually exited this club. So we know it can be done, and we know unions are the ones who are going to do it, in conjunction, of course, with a lot of NGOs and so on. We want to see broad alliances. So what we're doing is running an informational campaign as the ITF, and the aim of that is to arm unions with the proof they need to go and tell their governments why TISA is such a bad deal. Follow the example of Uruguay and Paraguay. Persuade the governments, because it's the governments that, you know, should be out. They should be exiting this. So what we'd do is the ITF, we'd very strongly encourage anyone who's concerned about TISA to do something about it, to visit in particular our website, which is www.tisameanstrouble.org. I'll say it again, that's tisameanstrouble.org.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 300 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to news about the national general strikes in Greece and in Colombia, the imprisonment of a Kazakh union leader, and the record low number of industrial disputes in Finland last year. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Scabs hired to replace striking beer delivery truckers in the United States were leaving kegs in all the wrong places, while 23 American graduate student workers at Yale University were arrested as others continued their hunger strike in an effort to get their employer to recognize their union. Indian IT workers struck work after a coworker was sacked, while textile workers and contract sanitation workers in India were off work and demanding a living wage and permanent employment. In Kenya, municipal employees walked off the job to draw attention to their unpaid wages. Nigerian state workers also took job action in an effort to gain unpaid wages, while the ongoing oil workers' strike there was extended to cover more employers. Continuing with the theme, Pakistani public sector workers were holding rallies during work time in an effort to have their back wages paid to them. And piggybacking on the Greek general strike, seamen there extended their strike to 4 days this week, shutting down ferry services to the country's islands. Our top working women stories included coverage of the anti-women working conditions at a German-owned garment factory in India, regressive equal pay legislation in New Zealand, and a study of Bangladeshi unions that showed how, while most garment union leaders are men, the membership are overwhelmingly women. The health and safety newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the death of 40 workers in an unsecured, abandoned South African mine and hazardous security conditions for many public sector workers in Pakistan. Currently, Labor Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.